Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the No Quitters podcast, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. As always, I am your host, Clem. And as always, I said as always too early, but as always, I am joined by my alliance on the podcast. We have Captain Cons, Connor, and JJ, Barstool JJ.
I'm clean and sober this week.
1 week.
Scared no, not straight. 1 week. I mean, this is, I'm on like 48 hours of sobriety.
Still sleeping off the plane ride and everything else and the jet lag and all that good stuff from San Diego.
Yeah, basically. All those fish tacos.
Hey, Clem.
Yes.
I answered.
You answered?
What did you say last week? You don't remember, do you? You said if you called me and I didn't win this weekend, I better not answer.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. I know what you were talking about. I didn't know what you meant by answered. Yeah. No, yeah. You did. You give your 30 seconds of glory.
Well, yeah, I won the hot dog eating contest. Ate 11 in 10 minutes, just like the Nathans. I was up by about 2 dogs, so I just kind of stopped, but it's disgusting. I dreaded it all day, but I did what I had to do. I got the win for you guys.
Well, you're allowed on the podcast, hence why we called you. I called Jack first, if you noticed, and then I called you in because I had to go through and make sure. Congratulations, though. I guess that the guy that your buddy was talking about wasn't much of a challenge.
There was the one guy to my right was keeping pace with me pretty much, and then I just kind of ran away with it at the end a little bit, but it was fair competition.
I mean, that was Dan's first eating contest, and he got 12 down, and he got sprayed with fake blood. So, I mean, that's all I'm going to say, Connor. I want to see if I have to come to Jersey next year. This is the thing. I don't like hot dog eating contests because I don't like eating wet bread. That's like my...
Yeah, no, that's the worst part because you have to dunk it in the water.
Yeah, I tried once to like be a tough guy and eat a hamburger in the rain, and the wet bun I can still taste in my mouth all these years later. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done to like be like a tough... Like it was like, it wasn't even being a tough guy. I was just trying to be like a funny guy, like I don't care, because it was a fucking monsoon. Mm-hmm. And... like, looking back now, it wasn't worth it for a couple of ha-has.
No, and there's no condiments. So, like Dan said, it's just a whole bunch of mush in your mouth, and it's disgusting and gross. And I didn't feel right for a good hour afterwards. I just had to walk in circles and try to drink some beers. But I can do better than 11. Let's just say that. I know I can do better than 11.
As long as we all have goals at 32.
Speaking of ugly mushing your mouth, we led off tonight's episode with Christina and Nate.
I honestly forgot he was still on the show. I honestly did, and I was like, God damn it, we're getting so much Nate time. Rat face Nate.
The sewer rat, puberty face, pubic hair face. Our boy Reek said it best. We knew the episode wasn't going to be an A just because that's how they led it off, and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, the producers are always trying to paint a picture, and if that's the paintbrush they're using to start the episode, we were in trouble. What was the line? I missed the exact line because I was tweeting like an idiot about his dad calling him a wimp.
I don't know.
It was like how if he was like playing sports and he'd get down on himself, his dad would just tell him, stop being a wimp. Yeah. And that would be like a source of power. Like, that is literally the worst parenting, I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't know anything about parenting, but I'm pretty sure that's the worst parenting.
Yeah.
Just don't be a wimp.
Here's where I think he made that story up completely, because he said, when I was playing sports competitions, anyone who's ever played sports in their life, pretty much, you know, through any decent level, would never call it a sports competition. So I think he just made that up to try to encourage his partner, when in fact he was just completely full of shit.
I disagree. I think that this did happen, and his dad did call him a wimp, but he was such a wimp that like his dad just gave up, and that's how he became the nerdy is that says sports competitions. He quit at age seven. Like at seven, his dad was like, fuck it, put him in gymnastics.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was thinking of giant, like ridiculous sports. He was probably doing something awkward like karate. and just wasn't having a good go of it. So yeah, his dad definitely with the awful parenting.
It did have like a bag of sand from the 40-year-old virgin to it, like sports competitions. But his dad, that is terrible parenting. He raised a crybaby. He raised a crybaby quitter.
Yeah.
And that's not what any dad wants to do with any kid of theirs, is a crybaby quitter. Oh, God, I fucking hate Nate so much. Nate, Christina, and, like, Christina, too, just an absolute zero. I mean, her, the only thing I can ever remember her doing in a challenge was hooking up with Tony, and it was literally the first episode of last season, and she didn't even survive the end of that episode, basically, so.
No.
Like, yo, Christina, can we just fast forward your life and just start doing meth already? Like, she's got the perfect pre-meth face.
Perfect. That's Stephanie Tanner right there. It's like a little punkier Stephanie Tanner, basically, is what she looks like.
Yeah.
So we get the chicks. So then they just basically take all the chicks out of the house, and the dudes are just hanging around, which I just thought was like when you guys are just hanging around with your buddies and all their girlfriends or wives are gone. The last thing in the world I'm doing is sitting. Actually, no. The last thing in the world I'm doing is trying on their underwear and their clothes like a bunch of fucking weirdos. The second last thing I'm doing is just hanging around, like acting bored, waiting for them to come home. I thought that was terrible producing by MTV right there.
Listen, I've got a few things to say about all of this. One, I've never been, and you guys know me personally outside of this, you know I love my wife. I think she's funny, all that stuff. I've never been hanging out with the guys and just thought, man, I wish my wife was here. That'd be awesome. Never. My wife, girlfriend, any girl. Unless it's strippers or Nicole. The other thing is, I'm supposed to believe that on this show that Wes and Bananas hate each other. They're enemies for forever. But they're going to dress up in women's clothes and smack each other's asses. Like that's what you do to a guy you hate.
Yeah,
man, imagine one of them did something in real life wrong to each other. They'd be doing a standing 69.
Yeah, I guess if that's hate, I'd hate to see what love is like between them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, that would never occur to me to put on women's clothing and prance around. I guess when you're cooped up in a house, though, you have nothing to do. There's no TV. There's no phones. There's no other form of entertainment. Your mind starts to wander, and I stand by what I said. I don't think my mind would ever wander to putting on women's clothing, but
just their skin.
No, I do not think I would do that either.
But they can't come up with, like, I don't know what they have like available to them, but like there's not a football like they could just throw around. You know,
something they can do.
Yo, you got some paper? Like, make a Chinese football and have a Chinese football tournament. Play beer pong. Do anything that's not putting on women's clothes.
Yeah, not for nothing. They have alcohol readily available to them. So just get hammered and the ideas will start flowing. That's what I mean. When I'm around just a bunch of my buddies, we usually drink alcohol and then we figure out something to do, or we just start talking to one another and it's pretty lively conversation and keeps us entertained. You don't need much. I don't think guys need much to be entertained. We're pretty easily entertained.
The last time we all hung out together, remember we were trying to pass the time. It was just us. And we were like, how many roofies does Connor have in that giant jar right there?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun trying to figure it all out. And
yeah,
139 was the total.
Yeah.
You said it was a really busy weekend. You were at like 180 earlier in the week. So it was a pretty big day for Connor.
He was also wearing some girl named Kathy's skin.
Moving on along.
Yeah, let's move on before I get indicted.
So they bury the – so they – MTV, the producers, again, they've – I mean, I don't even – I feel like halfway through this show, they hired new writers. Like, I think they fired the writers from the first half, and they basically just – they did like – when WWE hired Vince Russo. See, I know my little insider WWF stuff there. We got like the good writers back from previous years. We buried the girls alive and we had trivia. And it was like bullshit trivia, though. It wasn't legit, like, look at these idiots trivia. It was, you know, fun facts. I was even going to try to do something with us where I gave you guys the trivia, but it's just a bunch of nonsense. But the only thing was Dario spelling bananas, B-A-N-N-A-N-S, which was incredible.
He spelt Wes as West at one point. He just wrote a direction.
That was certainly pretty pretty good on his part to be that brain dead, to not be able to spell simple words that I think you learn in first grade.
So, I mean, I'll say I don't think as a whole, like this episode definitely didn't take a step forward, but I don't think it took a step back. I think by doing this challenge of this trivia, it sets it up for like bigger fights to come.
Absolutely. Because what I loved about this challenge was TJ asked the questions, and then as they started getting further along in the competition, and there were questions along the lines of, who are you working with? Who do you hate the most? Things of that nature. Not only did he tell who got it right, but then he told everybody who got it wrong what the answer should have been. So he was really just putting everybody on blast, every question, and everyone could hear how much everyone else hates them in the house or what everyone else thinks of them. So I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, that was cool because I throwing some more gas on the fire. Even in the beginning where they're like, Wes, choose three people to start one space behind you too. Just trying to get shit started. I appreciated that as well. Mm-hmm. A little behind the scenes, pulling back the curtain here. Whenever we record, I just play the episode in the background just in case anything jogs my memory. And just seeing that rat fuck Nate's face just pisses me off so much. He's talking right now. This guy was buried in Jack's girl for a while. That has to be kind of that would piss me off, Jack, if we're being quite honest here.
I'm going to be honest. Like, you just put salt in the wound. Like, to just talk about her, to say he was burying her. Oh, God damn it.
That little.
That's good euphemism.
She definitely like picked his little pubic hair teeth like off his face. Not his actual pubic hair. But it's like his facial hair. She probably picked out of her teeth in the past. Oh, God. What a little.
When they said like she thought he was the hottest. That hurt.
That this little game you're playing with her now too on Twitter, where you're tweeting at her and there's some gifts and stuff, it's kind of cute. It's kind of endearing. I'm not gonna lie. I also don't like that your wife is monitoring it all.
Oh, you should see the DMs. It goes down in the DMs.
DMs are lit. Oh Jesus Christ! I'm sorry, Mrs. J. I did not start this. But it's
you good. Literally did. You literally
yeah,
did.
Yeah, you absolutely did. But you know what, Clem? That's good because usually I'm the one who starts something like this inadvertently, and I'm not responsible this time. So the onus is on you. So I'm cool with it.
I'm just saying.
Whatever. She's a winner.
I'm going to get cut. Mrs. JJ, if you're listening, cut me. Don't cut my wife. Don't cut my child. Just slice me up. All right. I can tell. She has the eyes. Your wife is a beautiful, wonderful girl. She has the eyes of someone who definitely uses a knife, though. She definitely has sliced someone in her past.
I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, the thing is, everyone wants to jump on the Cole because, like, all these faces and whatever. First of all, the makeup that she had, the makeup she had in the coffin, fantastic. How did that not run in that hot box? Then there was a rough face. But then, you know what's – I like her –
a rough face. There was a rough face.
When she's at the winner's dinner, though, and she's got her, like, 4 pounds of casual makeup on, like, there's no extra glitter or anything. That's, like, her casual cute look. Like, that's adorable.
Connor, you did say it, though, and I agree. Like, there is – It's actually pretty respectable when you think about, like,
yeah,
she's a different fucking person. She's a different person in front of
Guess
us.
What?
Yo, I think I could hang out with her. I think I could hang out with her if she'll give my wife makeup tips. My wife kind of alluded to that. She was like, how does she do it?
She's how Mrs. Doubtfire. Mrs. Doubtfire had to go to a professional person to get his face on. And she just does it for fun, like with just makeup. It's amazing.
How great of a person would she be to be in a relationship with? She keeps it so fresh to the point where she brings a new face every day. That's unbelievable.
Your number goes up every time.
Yes.
It's a different person.
It's a different person.
All right, guys, be respectful.
By the way, I counted 8 faces this episode.
I had that on the list. I wanted to know how many faces we had.
Eight faces.
All right, so Connor, I got to know. How would you have done as the trivia person, and how would you have done as the buried alive person?
So, Clem, that's a good question, because as you alluded to before, this wasn't like, hey, if you're a smart individual, you're going to do better on this challenge than the other. It really just came down to how much do you talk to your partner? Because those questions, especially as they got further down the line, like, who are you guys aligned with? Things of that nature. That just comes down to talk. Again, I think you're bored in this house. You should be talking to your partner. So I'd like to think I could do okay with that one. But then also, too, I think you have an advantage, and some of these guys have an advantage. The longer you know someone certainly helps and bodes well. In terms of laying in the box, I mean, you just got to lay there. Again, there's probably oxygen being pumped in. It looked like they might have had a water bottle in there.
Yeah, they had a water bottle. There was no threat. They weren't that deep. They could hear.
Yeah.
And shit.
I think it would have been it appeared to be like there was a light. I think it would certainly have been a lot scarier if it was pitch black and you couldn't hear anything and you had no idea what was going on. Then, I mean, if you're claustrophobic, forget it. I've never been buried alive.
Have you ever dug a pit for someone to bury someone alive?
No, I've never buried anyone. I've been in a foxhole, so I've dug a hole for myself pretty deep and covered it with camouflage and things of that nature. So I know what it's like to lay in a hole, but not completely covered in sand on top like that. But again, for all the reasons we mentioned, I think that part was fairly easy. Just lay there and cheer on your partner.
Now, that's where these girls don't get enough credit. Imagine being buried, though, and being like, I'm not getting out of here until Vince answers, like, 8 questions correctly.
Super, super frustrating, because at that point, yeah, granted, they probably buried him, I don't know, 10 minutes before the guys got there with...
I bet filming that took a while. I bet they were in there for a good amount of time.
I agree with you. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
That's probably like at least two hours.
Quite possibly. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. So, yeah, no, credit to the girls. I think they did a great job by just laying in there, because not for nothing. You're just laying in a box. That can't be comfortable.
And then you
have that aspect sucks, too.
Dario wins it. So that in itself fucking was mind-blowing.
You know why Dario's won it? Because he got rid of those stupid earrings. Ever since he's gotten rid of the earrings, he's doing a lot better.
This is something my dad would say right there. You know what I hate? One of those athletes got to wear all those goddamn earrings.
My father. What did these kids put in their wieners on Facebook?
Dario winning was eye-opening, but I just think he was going on just... I mean, he couldn't even spell, so I mean, I don't think he even... I think he was just kind of guessing.
Again, that's where... I mean, it proves my point. You don't have to be smart to have won this challenge. You just have to have had multiple conversations with your partner and been on the same page as them.
I think if you're married, though, I don't know if you're like this, Jack, where my wife will have said something to me and I won't have heard it, but I will, like, it's like when you can, like, figure out the answer to a test by just reading the question. Like, you can be like, I feel like she told me this and I have no idea what the answer is, and you find your way around it. And I think that's kind of what Dario did there.
Use the test to take the test.
Exactly. Boom.
So between the two of you, who wins?
Of what? Knowing shit that my wife says or thinks?
No, I'm saying I put you two in that challenge with Mrs. Clem and MJ, which of you two is winning?
I'm pretty good with... I dominated the newlywed game when we played it in our honeymoon. So I don't know. Jack,
Wait, time out. You played the newlywed game at your honeymoon?
Yeah, like, not the newlywed, you know, like, on the honeymoon, they do stupid shit where everyone, you
know. Well, no, I don't know. I've never been on, so that's why I'm asking you.
See, I'm actually kind of surprised you haven't just, like, showed up at someone's, like, just third-wheeled a honeymoon.
Oh, no. I've been on vacations where there's been honeymoons, and I've, like, drank with newlyweds, but not full-on third-wheeled
Did you try to have sex with one of the brides?
No.
I would be good at, me and my wife hate all the same things. Like, so all the negative stuff, just like, who's the biggest piece of shit here? Like, boom, same answer. Like, who do you think, Scott, who do you think's the strongest here? Probably totally off.
See, this is where I think Jack has the advantage on me as well. The JJ family keeps it 100. That's the thing here. These questions were geared to start shit, right? I would rather just take the L and have my wife be buried alive instead of like putting myself in my own hypothetical hole and then potentially a real fucking hole 6 feet under down the road. And I just, you know, basically tank it there. I'd Pete Rose it. So
I just be like, no, I had to say those things to get you out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not that slick or smart. So I think JJ would, and like you said, like to anger things, they had that. If they had that in the bag, then yeah. So I'll give this one to JJ. Then again, Dario fucking won. So I mean, who the fuck knows?
Maybe we should do this for real. See how it plays out.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe next episode I'll go back and I'll try to figure out a way to kind of spin this. So we had Dario win. We then had like Devin leading a coup, which I said, this is the saddest thing is Devin's actual, like, I know JJ hates him, but I will say Devin actually has like some sort of a conniving brain here that's good for strategy. And he used to be stuck with the biggest group of fucking idiots on the face of the planet. It's a Greek tragedy. Then watching Dario try to like convince other people to join his team where he just, it's basically like when I go to buy a mattress when I used to like go to like Sleepy's back in the day and like the guy would like talk me into like a contract in like a minute, you know what I mean? And I just talked myself in circles. So
he was talking in circles, and then when he got interrupted, he started going the opposite direction. He just got so lost with himself. He genuinely thought he was leading and directing that conversation when in fact he had no control over the direction whatsoever.
Yeah, it was, and it was A-Rod too. Where he's like, all right.
Yo, I thought Dario was going to vote himself in at one point.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't know.
It was Leroy almost pulled that move back in the day because he had Wes fucking pulling the strings on him, and it was pretty. That was like the saddest moment I've ever seen in my life for Leroy, and I thought this was the same thing with Dario for sure. And then he throws in Cheyenne and Devin, and he throws in now Corey. This is the thing. Corey, Bananas had him on the boat last week, but Bananas said the whole reason they put him on the boat was to throw him in. And then Bananas this week was like, oh, Corey, you tried to save him back. Bananas, you are the puppet master. You cannot be upset when one of your puppets dances a little because you're fucking pulling the strings. Throws them both in.
The problem with Dario, too, if you have two alliances, it's like we always say about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You got two, you got none. You got two alliances, you don't have any alliances.
And that's the problem. I think Corey's just too stupid. Like, we see these people in the show, and Corey's good with girls. He's definitely gotten himself in trouble with, like, two girlfriends at least 100 times, though.
Right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, the same thing with alliances. He just sees the alliance as another girl to snuggle with and cuddle up to. That was a rough look. Jack, any things on Dario? I mean, your boy – tell me it wasn't like seeing your boy Erod on screen, like –
No, he looked like A-Rod when he's doing any interview and you're just like, dude, what are you saying? the cadence that he delivered it was amazing. He pouted his lips out a little bit as he delivered it. I want to be here. He was wearing wearing a denim shirt in Mexico?
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? First of all, I can't. I mean, obviously, I don't want him to because I don't want anyone to touch my princess. But, like, how is he not trying to plow away at fucking Nicole?
That is the biggest upset of the season.
Yeah, they should be making, like, a five-tool shortstop every chance they get.
Dario?
How are these kids not coming into these houses, though? Obviously, some people have legitimate relationships outside the house. Sarah's married. John's got a serious relationship. But they should all just kind of like go into an agreement. You're there for an extended period of time. Like, let's all pair off so we can just have our fun at night and not have to worry about all that poison being inside of us so we can make sound decisions.
Well, because you want each other to be poisoned. Also, could you imagine if your wife was like, yo, I got to travel for work to Mexico for a few months with Nate? Like, what the fuck?
You know how much TJ must fucking hate Nate's guts? Every time he sees him, it's probably everything in TJ's body just erupts. Like, TJ's the coolest guy in the world, and he probably just sees Nate, and, like, my my blood boils, and I'm pretty laid back, dude. I can only imagine what TJ feels like.
Speaking of TJ, I loved how he was stoking the fire at the deliberation too, asking Dario, "What were you thinking? Well, why'd you do that? Really? Huh?" And he just kept like, and Dario just kept word vomiting and just digging himself a deeper hole. And then all the minions follow suit, start screaming at one another. Meanwhile, John and Vince are just sitting back, keeping their mouths shut because they realize they got away with murder.
That was great. That was great seeing Bananas just kind of watch it all just come tumbling down. And shout out to the person who tweeted out the chaos is a ladder. Littlefinger, that was Bananas all the way that entire time. Perfect.
It's unbelievable to watch him now compared to years ago, how removed he is when he just keeps quiet, whereas in the past he would have interjected and thrown himself into all these fights. He knows now.
It's a veteran presence. It's a veteran presence.
Absolutely.
Bananas and Sarah's my pick to go back to back.
Yeah.
Going
I think
back
Bananas
to
and Sarah's
back.
Do it, and then Sarah's stuck doing this again.
Yeah. I agree. No,
Her poor husband.
But how do I mean, like, who knows what Dario is thinking? Because I don't know what type of intelligence level he's working with. Not high. But no brainer. Put one of those two teams in. No brainer. You have a good chance to get rid of one of them. But I guess ultimately he's scared if both of them come back, then he's kind of screwed.
Or if it's anything physical, then they just dominate Nate. And it's like, all right.
Yeah. So maybe, but I think I'm giving Dario too much credit. I don't know that he thought that much through.
No, he got played like a fiddle.
Absolutely.
That's like Bananas versus Dario in a mental warfare game is like the 96 Bulls against like the Vancouver Grizzlies that year. It's just a fucking destruction.
Yeah, you know what this is, you know what it's like, the mental game between Bananas and these people. Not that I think like Bananas is some like rocket scientist. This is what he does with his life. But you know, like when you would play a video game when you were younger and it's like, oh, I beat the first guy, then I beat the second guy, and you work your way up to the boss. Mm. It's like Bananas beats the first guy, and then the next one that comes in is exactly at the same level. And it's just that for forever. He's beating
Glass Joe. He's just facing Glass Joe nonstop. Over and over.
It's just, oh, beginner.
Star punch. Knockout, yeah. That's a fair point.
At this point, he's working with the game genie.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, like, the one time, like, West does steroids, he's like, oh, shit, I have to face Bull as well. One time. So that's a fair point. I never thought of it that way. Like, we give him a lot of credit, and granted, he's earned it. He's been around forever, all that stuff. But he's also facing, like, newbies like Nate coming out of the clouds, who somehow, out of all the quitters this season, the guy quit on the first episode. He somehow stayed around. It's unbelievable, right? Getting kicked out for random shit, too.
Like, the fact that someone doesn't just come in and, first shot, Bananas is in.
Yeah.
Then, boom, Bananas is in. Like, every time.
I have to rewatch that season, what was it, X's, when Bananas and Nani, like, went in and lost immediately, and then it was the one year they had that house. It's pretty incredible when you think about it, the fact that Bananas that year was actually kicked off that early and then lost again when he came back to the show. That was like the biggest upset.
Oh, yeah,
of
I remember.
Time.
That was a good season.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy that he lost twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was – him and Nani were a lot going in because Nani's actually like a decent girl. And the fact they lost twice, I don't think anyone could have saw it coming. Well, we answered that already. I'm just looking at my notes here.
Too many Wild and Out commercials. Can't believe that's a thing.
Every time that comes on, I'm like, wait, time out. This is still around?
I
think it left and it's back.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I actually kind of liked Nick Cannon like 100 years ago, and I always thought the Chappelle skit was funny where he's like, he's hilarious. And now I hate Nick Cannon. And now I feel like old Dave Chappelle now. Like, I've evolved into, like, the different Dave Chappelles over the years. It kind of sucks. And we got that fucking Nick Jonas thing out of nowhere, that commercial about hazing, which I officially, me and Connor, I think our first thoughts were, oh, I wonder what JJ the Hazer thinks about this. So, Jack.
If I'm correct, Jack, correct me if I am wrong, but I got word that Jack was a technical advisor on this film. Jack, can you speak to that?
No. I'm interested in it. I'm interested in seeing it. It seems like the plot is really just, you know, spoiled white kids hazing each other, but like what it can do. And it changes you. It changes everyone a little, but it definitely can ruin people.
Yeah.
Just like they come out of it as a totally different person. But what I find is I think in most movies, like, you know, comedies or, you know, whatever, they show like the guy who got like crazy as he's now the wild and crazy brother. Normally those guys will like a guy will pledge, kind of lose his shit a little bit, get in the house and then like go home for the summer and not come back, or like live out of the house, like not really be involved, just be super weird somewhere else. Whoever it affects the most normally isn't around them a lot.
Yeah. Two things. One, the one description was Full Metal Jacket meets Animal House. That's a pretty ridiculous combo, if you ask me.
That is a wide spectrum.
Yeah, that is very wide, because also at no point did this look funny. So it looks fairly dark.
It looked awesome. Great time.
What I was gonna say too,
like, you know, you blindfold a kid, you bring him in the bathroom, you tell him put his hand in the toilet, he thinks he's grabbing shit but it's really a banana. Like, come on, that's good clean fun.
That's like the, did you guys ever do that on Halloween where you'd like put your hand in the bowl of grapes and its eyeballs? You guys did that with shit, huh? You guys are some sick motherfuckers.
Yeah, seriously.
These are your friends in college. Oh my God.
No, but they're vying for an opportunity to be friends. For a nominal fee.
I feel privileged now that I just became your friend just by writing stupid shit on the internet like you. That's how we
I've been sending you quarterly membership dues, but friendship fees. You haven't been getting the bill?
I've actually been getting hazed.
Yeah. Well,
but no, like I feel like it's good indication that some people are just not cut out to take that sort of abuse mentally. They just crumble. I mean, that's pretty accurate, right?
I would watch a hazing Are You the One spec. Like, that's how you get the Are You the One people to do a spinoff, is to watch them get hazed by challenge members. That's how you get me to watch. If I could watch Johnny Bananas beat up Nate with a bar, with a pillowcase full of bars of soap, I'm in for that.
Absolutely.
Well, it's kind of like, have you guys seen The Neighbors?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know when they, like, have the one kid go undercover? And he starts to freak out and he's like, oh, just go ahead, go to my room, I've got like girls up there,
shit like that, or something like that. Or
like that's what happens now. Once a kid starts to freak out, then like someone's got to be the guy to be like, dude, it's all right, like you could get through this.
What happens if there is no guy that does that?
That kid normally drops, and like either then you got to worry if he goes to the school, then like is someone getting arrested or you kicked off campus. Like, remember like we were in high school or maybe early in college, they did like MTV did a thing on a fraternity and a sorority, like a true life thing. Mm-hmm. And they both got kicked off right away.
Yeah.
Like, people got arrested. Like, that was the beginning of the end.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Like, you can't do all the shit that they were doing. And like, we didn't do, like, I didn't go through all the shit that they're doing, but like, I knew guys like 2 years older than me that went through like every part of the stuff you see in that movie.
And then do those guys harbor resentment because you got it easier than they did?
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely like, oh, you didn't earn it like we did. So then that's why I took over hazing. I was like the head of hazing for 2 years. And like,
but I feel like you were clever about it more than.
Well, that's what I did. I made it more mental than physical.
Yep.
So it would really fuck with you. But there were no marks. There was no. Like, because kids used to just get hit. And, like, I did, like, I did wall sits and, like, shit like that. But
you just get hit.
Sometimes you get fucking hit. Like, it happens. But, like, you can mentally just, like, scare the shit out of these kids all the time. You just need them to be on edge at all times.
Mm-hmm. JJ's original podcast was called No Quitters, ironically, back in the day, and it was just about him hazing motherfuckers and about who fucking could
I wish
could break.
I wish, you know what it is, there's just when you're doing it, there's always, so like a little inside baseball on fraternities is you have a pledge master, But like the Pledge Master is like your dude. Like that's your guy. He's your lifeline. Mm-hmm. He's going to educate you, get you through this. And then there's guys who are going to be like cool with you. There's guys who are going to be like dicks to you. But the same way, there's that authority figure of like, I'm your guy. I came up with like, you should have the authority figure on the opposite end. That's like, I am going to fucking kill you at all times. And I was happy to be that guy.
So the Pledge Master is everyone's guy. Like he's just one. There's one Pledge Master for the entire.
Yeah, show. Like okay. He's like the guy you could go to ask questions and shit like that. He'll always be nice to you. But then huge curveball, I bring you down in the basement for like I don't know, like 10 hours or whatever, and I make you play the Bernie Mac game with me all night. Which I think I've said before.
Yes. Yeah, yep. You explained okay. It like 2 episodes ago.
While like guys just drag shovels on the ground behind you and it's dark and we're fucking with you. And we're making you do the like the Greek alphabet one by one. So then we're placing blame on the guy who messed it up. Like all sorts of stuff like that. Just yelling out random brothers' names like what's their initiation number. Then so you guys keep messing up. And then we get you to say that it's because you haven't been taught enough. And so now you turned on the one guy who's had back the whole time. Then he comes in and flips out on you. And it's a double turn like Bret Hart versus Steve Austin.
Jesus.
Sounds great. So in this case, it looked like James Franco was the Pledge Master, which I thought was
– To me, I didn't really watch it that close, to be honest. I thought he was just like the like the old guy,
senior?
Just like the old guy, yeah. Because normally, Pledge Master will be like a senior too. So it's like, oh, that's one senior like off our case.
So like Vince Vaughn is the Pledge Master in old school, and Frank the Tank's the guy who just screams at you out of nowhere just to scare the shit. He's the JJ.
Yes, yes. Except it was more organized.
But Jesus Christ, James Franco must have been pumped when he got this call. James Franco is 38 years old, and he's in a movie about being in a college fraternity, so I guess
that's
good
what
for
happens
him.
When you have sick abs, bro.
So wait, Jack. Speaking of old school, have you ever considered making a grown-up fraternity?
Here's my thing. I came out of college having been president of TEEK at Drexel, which was the longest-running one to never be kicked off campus. I just won a National Chapter of the Year award. We were the largest fraternity, like nationally, there were more teams than everywhere else. I thought everyone was going to be like throwing shit at me, like the Freemasons, the Order of the Elk, like all of that. I thought I was going to be the number one draft pick out of college. I got nothing. I got a Sons of an American Legion.
And this guy says, I like to throw out stats. But no, but I'm saying like, have you ever at this point, maybe within the last year, 2, 3 years, whatever, said like, what if I just made my own made-up fraternity for adults?
You do realize we do barstool sports, right? that's what
it is. Is that essentially what it is?
That's essentially what it is.
I guess that works.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
You're kind of pledging us.
Well, that works because I never had a chance to pledge in college, so this is great for me.
You get called a rapist all the time, and you still can't log into the back end of the site.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I really love it, too, because people will all the time DM me or text me and be like, yo, Jack's kind of a dick to you. And I try to tell them, nah, he's fine. But it's sometimes it's really just hard to cover it up.
I've had some people, oh, he served our country. And I'm like, oh, what, so I can't make fun of him?
So you can't bust my balls?
Yeah. I forgot.
There's dead bodies in Drexel because of Jack. There's someone whose life he can't eat like solid foods anymore because of Jack. What he's doing to Connor is for entertainment purposes only, all right?
No. Oh, I mean, you guys, well, I know Connor, you talked to her. Alyssa Rose works with a guy who pledged while I was president. Mm-hmm. When she made that connection, I was like, oh, this can be bad. She was like, no, Jack's the man. I was like, oh, thank God. I hope he doesn't tell the stories.
Oh, man. But I will say this, regardless how the movie is, Nick Jonas, Jealous, still bumps to this day. Every time it comes on the radio, volume up to, you know, 10 out of 10.
We owe reparations for that one because he did steal black culture on that.
When I found out, not only was it a white person, but Nick Jonas, I mean, I still haven't recovered from that, from my brain meltdown from that one. So that was something.
Yep.
All right, MVPs, LVPs for this episode. Jack, we'll start with you.
Either I'm going to go, my LVP is Nate, because I fucking hate your face and I had to see it all the time. Fucking pube face Nate. And I just hate him. My MVP is, for this week, I'm going to have to go with Nicole.
Surprise!
She's dealing, listen, couple reasons. One, she had to make her answer so easy and obvious that Dario could pick up on them. That Fair is her point. Fighting for her own safety and survival, and I love an empowered woman like that. Two, in that sweat box, her makeup didn't run at all. That means she makes smart choices with the way she does her makeup and the product she uses. And three, now I understand what she does to make her eyes look so big when she has all that makeup on. And that's just more of her to love.
It's like the fucking, was it?
I'm going to pay for all that. I'm going to pay for all that dearly tomorrow.
Connor, MVP? Or an LVP?
LVP, really, it's...
Do you have notes? Are you looking at notes?
No, I was looking at my phone.
Oh, I think you're looking at notes.
No. LVP is definitely 1,000,000%, I agree, Nate, because of that shitty facial hair. Just shave that stuff off. You look like a pedophile, really, is what it comes down to. And then also, because he quit. He threw his cardboard down and said, whatever, we're going to lose anyway, I quit. So you suck, Nate. And my MVP is going to be MTV for two reasons. One, we got a lot of TJ this week, and I love when TJ is out there busting chops. He's the best at it. And also because we bookended the show with Rush Hour and How High. So
yeah, I almost skipped this to watch How High.
I was like, oh shit, Jack's gonna get to be smoking the entire time we're doing this.
No, I'm dry. I'm clean this week.
I haven't seen How High in a minute, and that's a pretty funny movie.
You should get high and watch it. It's even better.
You ever see it on weed?
Yeah. Guys, I'm clean this week. I might even be clean for next week's show.
Wow.
I have a company sending me a vaporizer as a sponsorship for Yuppie Junk, though, so
we'll probably see. Not going to be clean then.
We'll see. We'll see. But it's for next week's episode, not this week coming up. So we'll see when it gets here.
This might be more for just Clem, because Bernie Mac wasn't in this movie. So Jack, you might never have seen it. This occurred to me tonight when I was watching the tail end of Rush Hour. Was Rush Hour really just kind of a remake of Beverly Hills Cop with some Jackie Chan thrown in for fighting? Because it was like, you got Chris Tucker, who... he should have just kept smoking weed. Ever since he stopped smoking weed, he fell off the face of the earth, stopped making movies, and that's a shame. But dealing with the two white guys from the FBI, kind of like the two white guys from the LAPD, and just some extra Jackie Chan. But it really was just kind of like a Beverly Hills Cop remake.
That's the thing here. So I feel like for a while in the 90s, there was like, take a movie script, change like the black actor in, and then like if you can throw like a Jackie Chan in the mix, that was part of the 90s. And then How High reminds us there was a time where Method Man and Red Man were like the go-to acting, like Abbott and Costello of Hollywood, which is just crazy to think about as well.
I'm gonna get crucified here because I mean I grew up listening, but which one's which again?
Method Man is in the Wu-Tang Clan. Red Man is not.
Method Man's a tall one.
Yeah. So Method Man, did you guys see that movie with Jonah Hill, The Sitter, that he was in?
Yeah.
That's actually really, Clem, you should watch it. And I recommend everybody else watches it too. It flew under the radar, but super funny. And it's fat Jonah Hill, so you know it's funny.
Like, you should watch it if you're not going out of your way at all. Like, if it's on demand or something like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you shouldn't block off Friday night to sit down and watch The Sitter. I'm saying if you come across it, leave it on. It's funny.
if you have the ship from the Matrix and they can plug your brain into something and you can watch it all in 3 seconds, like he learns Kung Fu, then go watch The Sitter. Basically, that's what you guys are telling me. Okay. No, I'll check it out. I canceled HBO today, actually.
Well,
Game of Thrones. I only get it for Game of Thrones.
So that's you get it, cancel it, and then get it again?
Yeah, I get it every year, and then the rest of the year I straight up leech off my parents for Netflix and HBO Go. So if I ever have to watch anything on HBO, I just go on there. But there's nothing good on HBO. The Bill Simmons show is terrible.
Yeah.
Which I shouldn't even be talking about. I don't want to get in trouble here, but I'll just say it's terrible. And there's nothing else on HBO. It's the same like 8 movies over and over again. So I'd rather just go on my Amazon Cody there and just watch whatever I want. So
that's fair. I didn't know you could really do that with a cable provider. They'd be willing to like, they wouldn't pick up on your pattern. Like, this guy just gets
what are you
it
gonna do?
Make me keep HBO?
I don't know.
Yeah, that you want to cancel something, you cancel something. They'll sell you something when you want to buy it. They're not making it. They're just hitting a button.
No, you guys are right. I've just never heard of this move before.
So, Connor, do you just like pile up your channels whenever you want something new? Like, you just like throw it on the pile, like $350 cable bill.
Yeah. Like, I got HBO and Showtime. I don't watch anything. I don't watch Game of Thrones. Like, I don't know, but like maybe I want to watch Good Will Hunting. It's on Showcase right now. You know, I caught a nice marathon at Eastbound and Down yesterday.
That's nice.
But lately, the thing is, you get too many options. So I've got like the Fire Stick. Mine's not working right. I tried to redo it, but it's not working right. But I also have Germ runs a media server out of his house that downloads shit. And I've got an app for that on my smart TV and on the Fire Stick. So now this Fire Stick's in the bedroom. So I'm just watching everything anyway on that, all in like, you know, DVD quality. So
yeah, I have the Fire Stick in my bedroom, Apple TV in my living room, all the movie channels. And it's nerve wracking at night when I'm trying to watch a movie to fall asleep to and there's too many options. It bothers me.
I can't believe. I mean, I thought asking which one between Method Man and Red Man was what, and then it was like, oh, you can cancel your movie channels. That one topped Method Man and Red Man. That was pretty impressive, though.
That sounds like a move my dad would do.
I feel like everyone like gets HBO like the day before Thrones comes out, and then the day after, like, I don't know, 50% of their subscriptions are like, yeah, I don't want this shit anymore. I mean, HBO kind of stinks, let's be honest. When there's not a good show on, in my opinion. It's the best of the movie channels. I don't even have the attention span to watch a movie anymore. I'm just on Twitter 24/7, you know?
I feel like they just need to, I don't even know like what shows they have now. So I'm not a Game of Thrones person. They lost me after the second season. It's just too much. I'm too dumb.
Okay.
And I'm not like really just into the whole thing. But like,
HBO's got Veep.
Like Ballers is coming back. Yeah, finished like a strong stretch. They've got Ballers. Like, they used to have Boardwalk Empire, so people were watching that.
You got to get it for Hard Knocks. I think Hard Knocks is going to be good this summer with the Rams.
Yeah, I have HBO Go, but Hard Knocks is the one thing that screws you too, because they don't let you watch it till like a few days. This is happening before.
Can you live stream on HBO Go?
Any other show but Hard Knocks, because the NFL is a bunch of fucking cocksuckers.
Really?
Yeah, they are. Like literally, I think it's like the next like 48 hours, you can't have anything on HBO Go or whatever it is, HBO Now, all that shit. But
that's
Ballers
weird.
Is a good one.
The leagues are weird. The leagues are weird with shit like that.
Yeah, and Ballers is a good point too. I forgot about Ballers. The only thing is, like, if I tweet and watch Ballers at the same time, I'm not going to watch a minute of it because I'm just going to tweet the whole time and just ruin my experience for myself. So,
yeah, but Ballers isn't that much of a crazy show that you need to be paying that close of attention.
I'm not missing any real plot.
No, yeah, I mean, it's just a great Sunday night show that you can just ease into the night, go to sleep with, and hate yourself on Monday.
Ballers is what if you just gum. It's good for like 3 seconds, and then you just dispose it, and you're happy. That's it. That's all you need.
Plus, what if you just want to, you know, binge watch every episode of Oz on demand?
A real pick me up. Point.
That'll teach you about being in a frat house.
Yes, yeah, seriously. No, but I mean, HBO's had some all time series that are great on demand that can be rewatched a ton. I think.
Yeah, but I think I could get those all on my Fire Stick. I think probably. I have something there. So, but fair point, fair point. I could also get those all on HBO Go on the app. That's what I do if I ever want to watch an old, like, Wire or Game of Thrones. Nice little TV conversation there. That was nice. My MVP, LVP, I'm kind of pissed. I was going to give Nicole the MVP, but her fucking boyfriend gave her that already, so...
No, you can. It's all right. We got to support each other.
Double up.
I say nice things about Mrs. Clem.
Yeah, I am also, in my mind, I'm sleeping with one eye open tonight because Mrs. JJ, so I ain't giving fucking her competition the MVP tonight. No fucking way.
You just got to hope she has a bad day at work tomorrow and then she forgets about how angry she was on the train listening to this. That's what I do.
We're just rekindling the flame that she had going all weekend at Delta, and I don't know that that's exactly a safe move.
I wish my wife a happy birthday last week after I talked about another girl's ass, and that's somehow less dumb than what I'm doing right now, stoking this shit up. I'm going to say, well, LVP is Nate. He's the, someone, whoever tweeted out, he's like the LVP of the season. I don't even, it's like talking about Steph Curry as the MVP during the regular season last year. It is what it is. MVP, I'm going to go with, I can't go with Dar. Dario was, we said he was the permanent LVP last season, so, fuck it. I'm going to go with TJ. TJ was back in the house again. It's safe pick. Can't go wrong with TJ. The shirt he was wearing was fire as well. The Torque shirt, Torque1Net. Mm-hmm. Follow them on Twitter, at Torque1Net. So I guess that'll wrap up our challenge discussion. Jack, hit me with some plugs or hit me with some good stuff here.
Follow me on Twitter, at BarstoolJJ. Follow me, my podcast, at Yuppie Junk. Yuppie Junk comes out every Monday. This week's episode was me, and I had my wife on for a little bit, talking about our hatred of Delta and the fact that our trip got canceled this weekend after sitting 5 hours on a plane on the ground thanks to Delta.
I never asked you this, though. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but are you going to get anything, any sort of retribution from Delta for this whole episode?
I might take down one of their planes. No, no.
Probably shouldn't say that out loud.
I know. It was a joke. We got refunded for our flights.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I lost, like, the Airbnb that I paid for. And I lost the opportunity to be in San Diego and go on my full taco diet that I planned on doing for 3 days.
That's so upsetting. I'm sorry.
That's kind of a missed opportunity. But, you know, hey, it happens. Yeah, so I think those are the things that I'm plugging. Yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'm always doing things and going all over the place, so it can be interesting.
Cool. Sounds good. Captain Cons, you're up.
I got nothing. Just follow me at Captain Cons. I got nothing of note this weekend coming up. No plans. And I'll be down the shore, so I can't help Jack win his 3-game series in softball because we all know how well I did the last time I played. So I'm sorry to say, Jack, that I will not be around and available.
All right, Connor, 8.5. Let's not forget. Let's try to get that done this weekend before 4th of July is past. This is when the weekends start going really quickly, just so you know. So let's try to get that 8.5 or better. Follow me at The Clem Report on Twitter. Follow the podcast at No Quitters Pod. You can read me on New York, on Barstool Sports New York. We'll see how we go the rest of the season here. We should get an elimination next week, which was kind of bullshit. We didn't get one this week, but I guess, you know, a movie about hazing was more important. Hopefully it's a really good elimination.
I'm sorry. I just remembered one other thing. Someone floated this idea to me, Clem. Christmas in July. Do we do a Christmas celebration for ourselves in July?
I mean, Jack's trying to get on the wagon, or I don't, is it off the wagon, or I don't even remember. I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. He's trying to get on the wagon. We're going to put a Christmas in July out there.
I just stay chasing the wagon.
Wait, what do you mean Christmas in July?
Well, Connor was fucking belligerent drunk last time we did our Christmas podcast episode.
Oh.
So he wants
to... I wasn't belligerent.
I know, I'm just fucking with you. Maybe we'll put it at that. Maybe it would be kind of fun. I mean, it'll go off the rails. I can only imagine what we talk about. We had like a 10-minute HBO discussion tonight, so it could get pretty fun and pretty interesting. But yeah, follow the podcast at No Quitters Pod. SoundCloud, iTunes, subscribe, give us 5 stars, all that good stuff. Thanks again for everyone listening, and don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.